We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, starting about 12:05 p.m. and now going on all the way to 1:30 p.m. And in an extended session, we will be at Mocha Joe's at 2 o'clock for the first Bradenton cryptocurrency meetup. And you'll hear and see some of the personalities that you've come to expect on this show. Well, it's another week in Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news and what's been happening. Well, another week, another record high, but this week it's for Bitcoin and Ethereum and Dash, and who knows what else is out there in the hours to come. The Chicago Board of Option Exchange announces specifics of their new Bitcoin option market, while Ledger X reports sale of the first Bitcoin Leap. That would be the first long-term option on Bitcoin. And can Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash coexist over the long term? And will one become digital gold and one what become what we actually use for transactions? Well, we have a full house and phone lines to help us sort through all this. And starting in the red mic, we will say hello to well, you know that has to be one of two people. Let you place your bets right now. And the winner is the one that bet that it would be Lee Hansen, the CEO of Byte Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company that is becoming ubiquitous around the state of Florida with their Bitcoin ATMs. Really ubiquitous and synonymous with Bitcoin ATMs and quality service. Hello, Lee. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Henry. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and we're going to find out more about placements of new ATMs as well as currencies that you're having. And also, here in the studio today, we have well, again, and that could only mean one person. That is Augie on the line, overcoming the technical issues that we are facing here in the studio today. We're going to find out if it works correctly. Good afternoon, Augie.
Oh, well, good afternoon, and the morning is gone, and I tell you, the faith in the technology here is just about there also. but the technology of Bitcoin is getting interesting because of the claims that the future is going to bring a world reserve in form and a virtual currency that will end up being the gold reserve of all reserves. That's predictions by some people that seem to know. I won't quote them right at the moment. But Dash is something that's advertising itself and promoting itself. And I have some questions about that.
Well, you came to the right place.
I want to hear that.
I do have to point out, yeah, of course, Augie has a great radio voice as it is. But the new technology that we're using here in the studio gives him a reverb that really is an enhancement, I think. I think this is the way we will do the show from here on. The heck with the old technology here. Innovation.
If he gets a little quiver in it, it could be like the Augie cellular wah-wah pedal.
Wah-wah-wah.
All right. Well, also overcoming technical issues and distance at the same time. And before I say hello to Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, I do want to say that he is remote. And when I first heard that he could not make it to the meetup this afternoon at Mocha Joe's, I figured, they finally wanted to see the paying customer at that table he's been homesteading on all this time. But no, unfortunately, it's been a family emergency that's called him out of town. But we thank him for joining us by phone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. Good afternoon, Augie. And good afternoon, Lee.
Hey. So you're talking to us from a remote location, and we don't need to go into details, but we want you to know that all of us here are thinking of you and your family, and Melissa, and prayers and thoughts are with you all, and wish you could be here at Mocha Joe's this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, and we wish we could be there, too.
All right. Well, so what? We'll go ahead before we go to the news. No, I'm getting
there's a terrible reverb going on.
I think it's Andy's speaker.
Is it my speaker?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo of myself, and I wasn't until I started talking to you. And I know it's not because we always agree.
All right, I'm going to hit mute and see if that works.
All right. Probably just if you go down on volume.
Maybe it's Augie.
Yeah, it's going to be Augie. Or it's my headset. All right, let's try this. Augie, take your phone and put it down by your hip. And now I hear less of it.
Now, it wasn't Andy.
Yeah, it was
Augie with his wah-wah pedal.
So whenever you see Andy talking, you can listen on your phone.
And of course, I have YouTube to do that with, right?
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to overcome that one way or another. But let's speak to Lee first about Dash, and in general, what currencies are currently being serviced in the Byte Federal Bitcoin ATMs?
So we have Bitcoin, which somehow managed to retain the name, even though the real Bitcoin is Bitcoin Cash. We're currently facilitating updating the Bitcoin Cash node, so that we'll be able to provide that. We also have Ethereum available, Dash, and Litecoin as of last week.
Litecoin, wow.
So
loving it.
Augie was asking about Dash. What can you tell us about that?
Dash is a really interesting thing. I had the pleasure of meeting Ryan, one of the developers, at a conference in Miami. What was it? Several months ago. I think it was last winter. And they're a bunch of really ethical guys. The devs, we got along with them really well. And the ideas behind Dash, the enhancements over Bitcoin, are significant. There are many details I won't go into, but basically they have a dynamic hashing algorithm that increases its complexity or increases the difficulty or decreases the difficulty based on the hashing power, and it's a specific threshold that the network sets. They have two tiers of network control, so they have the mining tier, and then they have the master nodes, which I think it takes 1,000 Dash to become a master node. And then you get to participate in their decision-making process. You get to participate and vote on how projects get funded out of their general fund. And their general fund is probably the most interesting aspect because, to me, their 10% general fund represents a completely interesting, novel methodology for funding projects, for funding public works, for funding all kinds of things without actual taxation. So what they do is they every time the miners get awarded coin for verifying blocks, 10% goes into a general fund that the master nodes then get to vote on. It's pretty cool.
All right. And what's really cool is that we hit an all-time high in the last 24 hours, which is what most of us are most concerned with. But I do have to tell Andy, it is his phone that is giving us the feedback and the echo, because I've turned his channel down and it has gone away now. Mm-hmm. And I turned it right back up and here it comes. So, Andy,
got it now?
Do you have an earbud that you could plug into your phone?
You know what? I don't think I do, but.
Okay. All right.
Is it better now?
Well, we'll try it.
Okay.
Now. All right. Let me be quiet and let me just ask you, you predicted Dash, you talked about the breakout, back around 300, I listened to you, and I got in a little over 400, and it's at 600 and something now. What did you see?
Well, I just saw, you know, it's just your typical consolidation, nice consolidation setup, and you know, and you look for the breakout, and the breakout was should have came around 370, which meant you know, new all-time high, and as it, you know, stocks or equities that makes all-time high continue to make all-time high, and we're in a very bullish market, and I'm very bullish on this coin. I love this coin. I'm glad Lee brought it up to me. And, I mean, I thank him for a lot of the coins, Bitcoin Cash. Thank you very much again. And, we have a target of about, you know, $900 to $1,200 in there.
For now.
For now. So, for now. For now. Of course, that can change, you know. But, it's a great coin. And I want to say what, like, Lee said and emphasize on that. Dash is doing everything right. Everything that you want in a company, Dash is doing. I mean, they are marketing, they are going out there, and they're doing good in this world. They actually have their own charitable donation. They're using stuff to help countries like Zimbabwe stabilize their currency and people in those countries to be able to, you know, to save in that. So, you know, I had an interesting message from one guy in England who was from Zimbabwe. He says he transfers all his money back there in Dash. And any company that has ethical, like what Lee said, ethical, you know, standards and is doing the right thing and is paying for it, you know, without taxing everybody is, you know, hey, that's where you want to be invested in.
I think the only way we're going to overcome this, Andy, is if I cue you when I'm turning up your mic. And I apologize to the audience, but that's just sort of the way this day is going. And who knows what Lee's going to find when he has to go and fix his sister's car later.
Easy stuff.
It's that kind of day. So let's just go ahead and look at some of the things that have happened today in the currencies. Well, we must be good luck for the markets in general, because as I'm looking right now at the time we speak, Bitcoin is trading at $8,700, $8,701. Ethereum is at $471. Bitcoin Cash, a little bit of a laggard today, but it's been hot for the previous couple days. It's currently at $1,614. Dash is at $628. That's actually off in the last hour. Let me see what its high for the period was, and it seems that the high has been as high as 645 in the last 24 hours. And Litecoin also moving, not at an all-time high, because it kissed $97 for a minute a few months ago, but for the over the last period of time, it has been consolidating in the 50s. It's now trading at $85.50. So everybody thinks they're a genius today because what is going on here? The top two currency by market capitalization, as we just mentioned, at the press time when I was putting this on about an hour ago, Bitcoin was at $8,400. It has reached at that time a market cap of $141 billion. The current cryptocurrency market cap is $267 billion. I have all the stuff here that I put in the rundown last night about Ethereum and Dash, which is all ancient news now 12 hours later with the pricing. And so what I want to submit to the audience and the panel here, and we'll get to it in just a moment on some of these other stories about the new vehicles that are coming out, but just a quick rundown. We have LedgerX already trading Bitcoin options. We have CME Group that has said sometime second week of December, maybe the third week, is going to release their futures. Now the Chicago Board of Options Exchange has said that, given out the specifics on their parameters for trading. So it's pretty much a done deal that Bitcoin has gotten its future in the derivatives market. And then the next follow-up is for the financial institutions like Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, even Merrill Lynch, all these others, to come in with their products. So besides the money that we're seeing go into Bitcoin, and I'm going to stop talking in a second and turn Andy's mic back up on this in a moment, is all the money that we're seeing coming in, because the market, the money that we're seeing coming in is not just rotation now. There is a lot of new money coming in if you've watched this stuff. But now it's spreading out into the other currency. Are we also seeing, besides the anticipation of the Bitcoin futures market, exchange-traded funds, the other people know that the prime, the blue-chip cryptocurrencies are going to be in store for the same thing as soon as the Bitcoin products are launched? And let me ask Andy.
Well, let me clarify something first on the CME contracts and the Chicago Board of Options, you know, exchange. The contracts aren't going to be like your typical soybean and wheat and gold contracts, where somebody could take delivery on it. Where you have, you know, you have merchants and you have manufacturers, producers, you know, farmers, all hedging themselves using options, which is what they do, or futures contracts. To lock in costs. The Bitcoin market is going to be somewhat different. It's going to be a cash, you know, it's cash
when it settles. You're not going to take a delivery of a Bitcoin like you would of oil or hog bellies or something.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to take delivery on hog bellies. It's going to have the effect on Bitcoin as if Lee and I had a bet on the Ohio State Michigan game today. We're betting on what the outcome is going to be. Our betting has absolutely nothing to do with the price, unlike the futures with hedging and stuff with an actual commodity which you would take delivery on. So it's a cash settled contract instead of I can take delivery on the gold or I can take delivery on the silver. And then you have speculators that, you know, speculate swaps, contracts, and all that kind of stuff. But this is not going to be like this. This is just purely gambling on the price of Bitcoin.
Well, I disagree, because it's not purely gambling, because if you have an exchange-traded fund, if you're a money manager or a hedge fund manager that has your client's money involved in this, you want either the ability to sell that at a price or the ability to buy if you've liquidated in your hedge fund because you think the market's going against you. I disagree. Am I wrong on that, Andy?
No, you're not wrong on that. Most of the time hedging, and I'll give you the perfect example of a company that hedged and did a poor job of it, is Love, Southwest Air. Back in when oil price went to $120 a barrel, Love was making all kinds of money because they hedged. Well, the opposite happened now when gas dropped to $25 a barrel. Well, they're still paying, you know, 50 or 60, so they're less competitive. Normally, companies do not hedge unless pretty much gambling. Hedging does not work most of the time unless you're a manufacturer, a producer, or you want to lock in a specific price on something. If you're Hanes underwear and you want to lock in the price of underwear and you're going to buy your cotton at, you know, $3 a bushel, then that's what you do. As far as hedging, I guess you could say, you know, hey, Bitcoin ran up 20%. I'm going to hedge a little bit using futures contracts. I don't know if that's a great idea. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, you can lose more doing that, because if it goes the other way, then you're eating into your profits.
Well, there's people that manage some of the exchange-traded index funds that do that to a certain extent, where they'll hedge against the sector that they're managing. And I think that, though, although most of us would not use it that way, and you're right, most of the people that are going to be pouring money into it are going to be placing those bets, as you say, the fact that just a small section of those people that are using the product would be fund managers hedging their clients' investments allows the exchange-traded funds to go forward. So we might be splitting hairs a little bit too much right now.
Well, remember, a lot of hedge funds use options, and this is different. an options contract. If, let's say, I'm coming into earnings and I'm going to, you know, I'm loaded up with Apple and I want to make sure that I'm locked in at my price, I use options to hedge. I don't normally use futures contracts to hedge. Futures are for commodities. So it's like I said, I think it's two different things with the hedge funds hedging with, with options as opposed to people buying futures contracts, speculators, swaps, and merchants.
All right. Sounds like Andy and I have something to bet on in the futures market. All right. Let's look at some of the things that have been coming to pass here in that market. As I said, Ledger X has announced that they had sold one of the first long-term options exchanges, long-term options, and that was at the $10,000 mark. As I scroll a little bit farther down this. I believe that it traded with an execution price at 2018, in the year 2018, and it sold for $2,250. The option was, again, the settlement date or the execution date was December 28th, 2018. So we're looking at a year and a couple months. Somebody paid for this, for the right to buy Bitcoin at $10,000. They probably bought this a week ago, so they were probably buying it when that would have represented about a 30% increase in the price of Bitcoin. They paid a premium of $2,250, which means that the Bitcoin would have to be able to be sold above $12,250 for it to have been a profit. Right now, they're looking pretty smart, but that would be extreme in most option markets. What do you think, Lee?
I know very limited quantities about this space. As you know, I'm the operations guy. I don't get to focus much on the emerging financial side as it evolves. But as far as whether Bitcoin will reach that point, it's economics 101. There's finite supply based upon design. And there's not an ever-increasing demand, but a substantially increasing demand over the current, time frame that it sits in. So the assumption that it will crest 12,000, it's not even almost – unless something catastrophic happens, math says it's going to cross that border.
Well, that's what your math says. But Ledger X's calculations, it says here, based on the Nobel Prize-winning – Black-Scholes financial markets model, which we, if we had time, I'm sure Augie could dissertate on that for us, said there is only a 25% chance that Bitcoin will reach that level in the allotted time. So the calculations by the Black-Scholes financial model says 25% chance that it would have gotten to 10,000, not to the 12,250.
I missed, when's the time frame?
December of 2018, over a year from today.
It'll get there.
Yes. And the other thing to think about here is I'm pretty sure the market isn't developed to the point where you can sell an uncovered call. And they're probably getting a little bit too detailed on the financial. But for that person that bought that option to be able to buy it at $10,000, someone has to be offering it at $10,000, whether it's covered or uncovered. And whoever is offering that at $10,000, unless they had it for 10 years, and in 8 years, and it's just been a tremendous windfall for them, I don't understand who was putting forth that Bitcoin for $10,000. Augie?
Oh, it's all about baiting, I believe, and
Well, what do you mean by baiting?
We saw what Jimmy Diamond did recently. It's a fraud. It's a ruse. So when it went down, based on his words, he bought right in, and the baiting goes on all the time.
By baiting, you mean somebody it's like a loss leader,
right?
Because they're going to come in with more money later.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
And that's the game that drives the speculation. You know, when I still look back in that moment in time when I'm sitting with this sale that I just made on a property I paid $40,000 was selling for $255. I'm thinking, well, it's going to keep going. And the guy across me, do you have any more property? I said, I do, but I'm going to want three. He says, I'll buy it. $300,000. I could have sold several properties. I could never get that price today. So, you know, but so when do you act? When do you take advantage of the bubble? And there is a bubble here. There has to be.
Sorry about that. It's a bubble filled with water.
Well, we will find out, absolutely, sooner or later. All right, so let me get Andy one more chance on this before we move on to the Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin debate. Andy, any further thoughts?
Nope. I'd like to take that. If there was an options contract, I would definitely be taking the options to be able to buy that at $12,000 and December 2018. I would take that all day. How much was the contract for, did you say?
It sold for $2,250.
Oh, so that means it's got to get to $14,000.
No, it's got to get to $12,250.
So the contract was for $10,000, or the option was for $10,000?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the option to buy it at $10,000. Yeah, that's and again, you know, it's a little different than you know, options and the futures, but you know, I'd definitely take that. $2,000's got to get to $12,000 for you to break even. I think it gets there. I think we may be there before June.
All right. Well, Tom Lee from Fundstrat that was all mumbly mouth about 2 weeks ago on CNBC against the other bull for Bitcoin, whose price target back then was 6,000 when it was already trading at 6,000. He has come forward with 11,500. So, and also to point out here that you don't have to buy that option, wait till December 18th to make money. If Bitcoin goes above at the point of 12,250 or probably even less than that because of the time premium that's built into an option, if it gets to 11,000 in 2 months, that you could probably sell that option for a profit just by itself. You could sell what you bought for 2,250 for 3,000 or 4,000. Anyway, let's move on to this idea that we've seen the move again in Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin, of course, we've already talked about the record. Bitcoin Cash, after peaking in one day, in a 24-hour period, going from about 700 or 800 up to around 2,600 and back down to 1,000, maybe in 30 hours. It languished for a while, traded sideways around $1,000, consolidated, and then broke out again in the medium term, I guess you would say, in the medium term of this being 2 weeks, and had made a move where it got as high as 1,700 in the past 24 hours. Lee, before we get Augie and Andy about whether Bitcoin will become the digital gold and Bitcoin Cash the transactional, refresh our memory about what you were saying about Bitcoin Cash when it first came out. You called it the real Bitcoin.
Well, so there's two distinct cryptocurrencies in the Bitcoin, under the Bitcoin moniker or title, right?
And that split.
Yeah, the hard fork, the last hard fork that occurred, Bitcoin Cash just basically increased the block size from 1 meg to 8 meg, which adheres to the original software philosophy. And then Bitcoin, that somehow managed to get the name, implemented side-chaining. The SegWit, basically, in order to be able to more efficiently, mine the blocks. They separated two distinct aspects of it, right? So there was a side chaining. I think according to what I read, is like they side changed the hash output from the block verification process. And so what that did is it allowed them to process significantly more transactions per block, even without increasing the block size. It's a cool idea. But it doesn't adhere to the original Satoshi white paper, I think.
Now, how big is the block on what we call Bitcoin right now, the legacy Bitcoin?
It's 1 meg.
And how big is it on Bitcoin Cash?
8 meg.
Okay. And we've got a guest coming in about 6 minutes, so we're not going to be able to explain how much data is in a meg. But the
intent here is that regardless of what unit of measurement we use, it's eight times larger, eight times more transactions can fit in there, roughly, per block. So what the attributes that the Bitcoin Cash now has, aside from, you know, being able to put 8 times more transactions in there, is that the fees are significantly lower. So when you buy a pack of gum with Bitcoin Cash, you might pay like a few pennies for the network fees, where you can't even, you know, there's 5 packs of gum in the fees for a Bitcoin transaction. This week we saw a couple different network transaction fees that were in the $7 to $8 range. And we had to change the way our network functioned, because every time somebody, you know, bought $5 worth of Bitcoin, we lost like $3. So
now, the Bitcoin Cash is an option in your ATMs?
No, that's coming online probably in the next week.
Okay, well, let's say something like Dash or Litecoin. What's the transaction cost?
They're very low.
Under a dollar?
Yeah, significantly.
Under 50 cents?
Yeah, I think so. For Dash, it's very cheap. And, you know, I haven't gotten to see the network fees, because most people don't. There's this weird thing that occurs. People look at us and they're like, oh, awesome, the machine offers altcoins. Well, most of the altcoin consumers, or the altcoin purchasers, are very savvy users. They don't need our machines to get to the altcoins. So our volume of altcoin movement on the network is very small, because, you know, the savvy guys are just buying it on their own. They're using Shapeshift or however to acquire the altcoins. They start out with Bitcoin, of course. So we don't get a lot of analytics as to what their fees are, and that's why I have no idea. But I do know that the fees are significantly reduced against Bitcoin currently.
All right. So that brings us to the question that I think we might be framing, as we circled around it, was that the transaction fees on Bitcoin, that what is generally known as Bitcoin, are too high now to make it efficiently to buy small purchases or even fairly large purchases. But Bitcoin Cash, the transaction fees are. But on the other hand, we have $150 billion now of people's money tied up in the value of Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash is not anywhere near there yet. And Augie, you have long been involved with gold for decades, right?
Not enough time, but somewhat. I don't want to overstate.
Well, not as long as King Midas, but
no.
Yeah, you've been at it a while. So tell us what first attracted you to gold. Then we'll get Andy's thoughts on the idea of the two having two totally different purposes.
Well, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, and that moved me. It was not, what was it? I think it was $90 an ounce at that time. And I was buying into it, and I predicted the 87 near crash that we had. And gold crashed pretty severely at that time and then bounced up in a day. And I listened to the wrong people, and I bought certificates, which everybody had hedged with on the gold going way high. Had I stayed in the metal itself, I would have gained about a $25,000 gain overnight. And because I was in the certificates and everybody was selling off because of the losses in the market at the time, I ended up losing about $10,000. So it's who you listen to and what you do. And the hard stuff really makes a difference. So if you're going to have investments, hard stuff is where you want to be, I think, as the insurance policy. So what do you bank on? And when you invest in speculations like this, I happen to be right, but I did it wrong. And that's kind of what you face in these realities.
All right, let's hear from Andy.
You know, I'm a big gold bug. I love gold. It has been around for, you know, 10,000 or 6,000 years. It has retained, you know, people have retained wealth through it. I don't think gold and silver is going to be replaced by Bitcoin. I think there'll be, you know, there's a position for both. You know, Bitcoin, I think, will become the BTC, not the real Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, will become the preservation of wealth coin, and Bitcoin Cash will become more the one that's used. And there's room for 3 or 4, maybe even 10 of these coins up there at these levels. I mean, you know, think about it. If you put Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash together, that gives every person in New York 4 coins total. I mean, that's a very small amount compared to the world population. So there's plenty of room for, you know, additional you know, altcoins to get up there in parallel with Bitcoin. But I agree with Augie. I am a big gold and silver bug, and I think if you need to have some in your portfolio, and you should have a diversified portfolio so that you are, you know, regardless of what the market does, your wealth is preserved. Because it doesn't get to get, I want to make money, it's I want to preserve what I've already made.
All right.
And that's what gold does for you.
Andy, we're going to say goodbye to you now. We have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have Rosa Shores and Gabe Higgins. Longtime listeners know those names. They are the blockchain power couple of Tampa Bay right now. They were going to try and be at the meetup today, but they're being interviewed by Channel 10 on the work they're doing up there in Tampa Bay. So we're going to have to talk to them remotely, too. Andy, good luck with everything you're taking care of today. I know you're going to try and patch you into the meetup in, at 2 o'clock, too, but you have best you can with what you're dealing with. I think that was a bye. We are going to try and get Rosa and Gabe Higgins. We will get through all this coming up here shortly. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.